Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
A close friend of mine has always complained that she can hear a constant hum. I've always thought that it was just something like the ringing in your ears that you get after being at a loud event. But she claims that it doesn't go away and has several pitches. There is a medical condition called tinnitus that causes a high-pitched ringing, but hers is a low hum. If you do research on the internet, there is a phenomenon called the Taos hum, which was first reported in 1992 in Taos, New Mexico, where thousands claimed to have heard it. A subsequent university study concluded that the hum was not an environmental noise. So what is it? Is the hum real, or is it imaginary? In this month's story, Alejandro, a poor fisherman, has been haunted by a constant noise all his life, which he has nicknamed the hum. But everyone around him insists that it's all in his mind. So to keep himself sane, he has been forced to fill his life with noise to mask the constant tones. Then, a chance meeting with a tourist in the city for a conference changes everything, and Alejandro learns that he is not alone, and that the hum might be real. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 82, Ambient Noise. Somewhere in some time, you might contract a chronic earworm that turns out not to be in your head. The small fishing boat rocked, tossed about in the wake of a passing catamaran, jammed with tourists, and vibrating with out-of-date dance music.
If you care to look to the starboard side, you'll see one of our proud, industrious fishermen hard at work.
The loudspeaker instructed the bored foreigners, most of whom were drinking and ignoring the tour guide. A few waved unenthusiastically. Alejandro made a rude gesture before he frantically pulled his lines in so they wouldn't be cut by the props of the larger boat, but knew it may already be too late. Even if they were okay, the fish would be gone. He finished reeling the lines in, then slumped back against the old outboard motor, watching the catamaran slide into the distance, then finally disappear around the point of the island. He was left with the sounds of waves lapping against the battered fiberglass hull and the ever-present hum. Today, Alejandro could make out three distinct notes, C, C-sharp, and E. He decided it was the audio equivalent of bitter lemons and knew it was going to give him another headache unless he could drown out the sound. Occasionally, the hum was harmonious and almost pleasant, but recently those times had been few and far between. The tones, which he had nicknamed the hum, had been with him all his life and was his constant companion. But when he talked about the tones, everyone around him insisted that they were not real.
"It's all in your head, Alejandro,"
his parents would say. The only doctor that his family could afford claimed there was a problem with the nerves that connected his ears to his brain.
"It's like a bad phone line," the doctor had explained. "The nerves are frayed, so there's noise in the signal. That's all. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about it."
And when the six-year-old Alejandro asked where his auditory nerves would pick up interference from, the doctor just poked the otoscope a little further into his ear and hummed. So Alejandro started referring to his condition as the hum and rarely mentioned it again. There were days when he thought he would go crazy, until he discovered that if the sounds around him were loud enough, he could mask the tones. So Alejandro pulled out an old beat-up music player he had found lying in a street near the tourist zone, plugged in the frayed earbuds, turned the music on, and pulled the starting cord on the outboard motor. With the hum overwhelmed by music and the whine of the old motor, he headed for the beach near the industrial pier on the far side of the bay.
"Hey, Alejandro!"
Carlos, another fisherman, waved as he lashed a line to a stake driven deep into the coarse sand, anchoring his boat to the shore for the night.
"Any fish today?"
Alejandro held out his empty hands.
"A tour boat got too close, scared them all away."
"Was it the blue catamaran? Yesterday it buzzed Rodrigo, and the day before me. If they just paid us to be a prop in their little productions, I wouldn't mind. I'd even throw in a few fish for their lunch if the tour company paid enough."
Alejandro laughed.
Good idea, Carlos. Try it and tell me how it goes.
Carlos was the most entrepreneurial person Alejandro had ever known. He could always imagine how to turn a bad situation into a profitable one, but that hadn't helped him. Carlos, like Alejandro and most of the other people in the city that for various reasons didn't fit in, seemed to be on a perpetual streak of bad luck. So they found themselves eking out a living however they could, doing marginal things like fishing in a small open boat in the mostly fished-out inshore of the bay. Alejandro liked the way Carlos thought. They could talk about almost anything as they helped each other unload a catch, and mostly agreed that the world seemed to be run for the benefit of only a few, and that they did not have the good fortune to be one of them. Every day, Carlos would complain about the low fish prices and the high cost of things in the stores. However, when Alejandro challenged him about why it should be so, Carlos would shrug and say,
"That's just the way it is. Someone has to catch the fish, like it or not, and that's our lot in life."
And that's where Alejandro differed from Carlos. Alejandro instinctively knew that the world should and could be different. He just didn't know how to change it yet.
"You should have better luck tomorrow," Carlos said, panting, after he and Alejandro had finished pushing the awkward makeshift cart full of his fish up the beach to the market. "That tour captain will target someone else. You'll see," he assured.
After helping Carlos pack the fish and ice, Alejandro made his way along the ancient four-lane street that led away from the abandoned industrial pier at the opposite end of the beach from the market. Shops made of sheet metal and packing crates, built in front of the original industrial buildings, had reduced the street to a single lane, which was crowded with pedestrians, bicycles, and carts. He walked until he got to the railway underpass, then turned into a narrow lane where his favorite net cafe was located. Alejandro liked the place because its hard-tiled surfaces amplified every noise, creating a distracting background of voices and rattling plates that drowned out the notes of the hum. The cafe was nearly full by the time he arrived, but his favorite booth at the back was still empty. The cafe's manager owed him, so the terminal was usually free when he arrived back after a day's fishing. Alejandro pushed the reserve sign to one side and slid onto the scratched and chipped plastic. He pushed his prepaid access card into a slot on the terminal, let the camera in the corner of the screen scan his retinas, and checked his rapidly declining credit balance. Next, he touched the cafe menu, ordered the coffee, then began to browse the ad-supported news on the one site he could access without pain.
"Do you mind if I use the terminal beside you?"
A heavily accented question emanated from the darkness behind the glow of his screen. Alejandro looked up, using his hands to block out the glare. A woman, dressed in downplayed tourist garb, stood waiting hesitantly for a response.
"Go ahead,"
Alejandro yelled over the din of music and competing conversations, and almost felt like adding, "Were you on that blue catamaran this morning?" but decided not to. The woman took off an expensive-looking backpack and sat down at the next terminal. She struggled with the keyboard for a few moments before pushing back into her seat in frustration. Alejandro caught the gesture in his peripheral vision, but was determined to ignore her. He was still mad about the morning, but the incident with the boat wasn't this woman's fault, he eventually rationalized, even if she had been a passenger on it. If there was anyone to blame, it was the boat's captain. And then again, the man was probably just trying to up the ante by showing a bit more local color than the other tours, so his crew would get better tips at the end of the day. Alejandro's anger drained away.
"Let me help."
He leaned over and touched the language settings on the woman's terminal, switching it to international English.
"Oh, thanks. Geez, I should have seen the options menu myself,"
the woman said apologetically.
"Don't feel sorry. It's not the tourist zone down here. The language settings are rarely changed, so the cafe's owners tend to hide them. Not many tourists come to the market. You're an exception."
"I needed to get away from the strip. It's too loud over there."
"Huh, and you find this place quiet?"
Alejandro laughed.
"Personally, I come here for the noise."
The woman leaned over and almost whispered,
"That's why I'm here too, for the noise."
"For the noise?"
Alejandro repeated skeptically.
I thought you said it was too loud in the tourist zone.
Yes, that's right. Let me explain. I feel a bit stupid telling a stranger, but I need the noise around me to mask the song. The song is too loud in the hotel, so I ended up here.
Song?
Eleandro questioned.
Like you have an earworm? Like you have a catchy song stuck in your brain?
No, nothing like that. It's not really a song at all. I don't usually tell people about it because they think it doesn't exist. They'll claim it's some type of hearing defect or it's just in my mind. But I tell you, it's real, and it's constant, and sometimes there's more than one tone. Some days it just drives me crazy, so I need to find places like this. Even now, if I concentrate, I can still hear it.
C, C sharp, and E.
Alejandro abruptly broke in. The woman gave him a quizzical look, then smiled.
Yeah, that's the notes in the tone today. You can hear it too, can't you? For how long?
All my life.
Alejandro quickly answered.
Up to now, I believed I was the only one. I was told it's a genetic hearing defect. That's why I like places like this, too. I even sleep with a radio on to mask the hum.
We're not the only ones.
Really?
Alejandro replied, trying to hide his growing excitement.
My name's Alejandro, and who are you?
Oh, sorry. That was rude of me. I'm Heli. I was just so excited to randomly walk into a cafe and meet someone like you. As I said, we're not the only ones. There are more. I'm here to attend a conference for people like us. Actually, I'm doing a keynote presentation. Perhaps you should go.
To a conference?
Alejandro scoffed.
Conferences are for the wealthy, who have the time and money to waste on talk. I'm a poor part-time fisherman with neither. What good would talking do for me?
Well, there'll be people there like you. You can meet them and share your experience. Hey, don't worry about the money. I think I can swing a pass for you. I'll talk to the organizers. You're special, Alejandro. You have a rare ability. Only a few can hear the tones. And this is your chance to learn more about it and how important it is. So I'm going to come back here tomorrow about the same time and give you a pass.
And with that, Heli got up and left without using her terminal, leaving Alejandro agitated and confused. Even before the morning sun poked through the line of cumulus clouds that defined the boundary between the sea and the sky, Alejandro was on the water setting up his lines near a coral reef that had always been good to him. The water was calm and the outboards idle too soft, so Alejandro had his earbuds on and the music turned up to drown out the hum. The notes had changed overnight and were particularly harsh. He let the last line out, then hunkered down, propping up a tattered canvas to keep him covered from the sun, and waited for the first tug on one of the lines and the tingle of the tiny bell he had tied to each that told him a fish had taken the bait. Alejandro sat in the paltry shade, imagining a rare school of hungry bluefins spotting his bait, and fell asleep, until an unusually large swell made his head knock up against the gunwale of the tiny boat. He woke with a start, the imaginary bluefins evaporating like the dream they were, squinted and looked around. The sun was high in the sky, meaning that he'd been asleep for a few hours.
Nothing. Not even a nibble,
he cursed as he checked his lines. Then Alejandro spotted the cruiser, lazily rising and falling on the swells, maybe 200 or 300 meters away. He shaded his eyes and looked. A slim figure in a red baseball cap quickly turned their head away, pretending that they hadn't been looking in his direction. Alejandro jumped up, rocking the boat, and stared at the distant figure. Then movement caught his eye, and he looked down into the crystal clear water. Several dark shadows slithered against the bottom. One shape rolled over, revealing a face mask, and bubbles percolated up to the surface.
Divers!
Alejandro swore. In the distance he heard the low roar of twin outboards and looked up as the cruiser tore away. A horn sounded behind him, and Alejandro turned to see a dive tour boat not 50 meters away, its captain smiling and waving at him.
Tourists again,
he angrily muttered, knowing that the dive captain had come up and anchored near his lines while he was asleep. No wonder there'd been no bites. It was a cheap trick that dive captains sometimes used when they couldn't find fish for their clients. The bait at the end of a fisherman's line could always be counted on. Alejandro yelled a curse at the lazy captain, quickly brought his lines in, then purposely revved his outboard to scare the fish away. Despite his anger, he kept thinking about the other boat. What had it been doing there? Watching him? The odd tourist he had met in a cafe the evening before came to mind, but he couldn't tell if the person in the red cap had been a woman. And besides, why would she follow him? Maybe it was just a sports fisherman, using the same trick as the dive captain, he eventually rationalized. Alejandro looked up to check the position of the sun in the sky. It was close to noon. The best fishing was already over, so he wrote the rest of the day off as a loss and headed to shore early. When he arrived back at the beach, Carlos' boat was still out, so he decided to get a coffee and browse the net, then come back and help his friend unload his catch. The hot sun had chased most of the midday crowds into the shade of the ramshackle tin-roofed buildings, leaving the exposed center of the street almost empty. Not wanting to fight his way upstream against the human flow, Alejandro walked down the vacated center. But he quickly got too hot and paused in the shade of the railway underpass to wipe the sweat from his forehead before continuing on to the net cafe. Out of the corner of one eye, he caught the flash of a red cap in the shadows near one of the support pillars. But when he turned to look, it was gone. A coincidence, he concluded, until he saw the distinctive hat again in the lane near the cafe. The slight figure wearing it had ducked into a storefront before he passed. Suspicious, Alejandro stopped, hesitated for a moment, then moved on without going into the cafe, trying not to look too obvious as he scanned the street. No one had ever taken an interest in him before. He was just a down-on-his-luck fisherman. So why would someone want to follow him now, he wondered. Alejandro walked for another 5 minutes, constantly checking in the shadows cast by the corrugated metal overhangs from the shops. Suddenly he noticed that the pitch of the omnipresent hum was rising, and the people around him seemed to be slowing in response. Alejandro shook his head to make the illusion go away, but it stubbornly persisted. Then he thought of the words that the woman Heli had said, "Only a few can hear the tones." And for the first time he wondered what the hum was, and if there was really some purpose behind it. Spooked, Alejandro picked up his pace, weaving between stalls and the slow-moving crowds, until he was sure that no one could have followed him. He checked up and down the lane, then satisfied there was no red hat around, he picked a cafe at random and went in, found a table at the back, and sat down, facing the door. The proprietor of the tiny establishment approached him to take his order.
"Put whatever he wants on my tab,"
a female voice at the next table offered. Alejandro turned and shaded his eyes against the glare from the front windows and found himself staring at Heli.
"How?"
he started to say in surprise, then suspicion and fear welled up.
"Why are you following me? Leave me alone." "Alejandro, I wasn't following you. I just stopped in here to get out of the heat. It's a coincidence, that's all. I was going to try and meet you at that net cafe later. I thought you'd still be fishing. What's wrong? You seem agitated."
Alejandro barely stopped himself from tearing the woman's bag away and searching it for the red cap. But he regained control and instead said,
"No fish today. Some stupid divers from a tour boat scared them away, and it was too late to move and start again." "I'm sorry to hear that. It was the second day in a row, wasn't it?"
"There was a catamaran yesterday. How did you know?"
"You told me."
"No, I didn't. I didn't say anything about the cat. We talked about the noise, that's all."
Alejandro suspiciously noted. Heli quickly changed the subject.
"Hey look, I managed to get a conference pass for you. It runs all week. But the session tonight is the one that you really need to go to."
She pulled a brightly colored lanyard out of her bag and tossed it onto Alejandro's table. He eyed it dubiously, as if even touching it would somehow commit him to going.
"You heard the change this afternoon and saw how the people around you reacted, didn't you?"
she accused.
"No, I don't know what you're talking about,"
Alejandro claimed, wondering if he had somehow given himself away with an unconscious twitch. He had never been good at lying.
The people around you became subtly more docile, less concerned about where they were going. But you weren't affected. Admit it.
Alejandro tried to look as if he didn't understand. Undaunted, Helly persisted.
Come on, I know you heard the change. It's a bit higher and louder now, a bit shriller and very uncomfortable. In fact, it'll probably take you a few hours before you relearn how to tune the new song out. But you already know that. The tones are constantly changing, so it's an ongoing struggle, and it's only going to get harder as you grow older. Think about it.
Helly motioned for the proprietor and handed him some banknotes to cover the bill, then got up to leave.
You can't go on like this forever, Alejandro. I know you're interested. Come tonight.
Helly gave him a feral smile, mouthing the word, silence, then left. Alejandro sat at the table staring at the lanyard. Helly was right. Underneath the sounds from the kitchen, the dated music streaming from a hidden speaker, and the drone of traffic in the street outside, he could plainly hear it, boring into his mind and rattling around. He felt the beginnings of an intense migraine coming on. The conference was located in the heart of the tourist area, so when Alejandro started out, he was expecting to get no further than the gate that separated the zone from the rest of the city. But to his surprise, the conference lanyard acted like a magic talisman, which opened gates and doors he had never dreamed he would ever be allowed to pass through. He eventually found himself feeling conspicuously out of place in a large three-story atrium with groups of well-dressed foreigners purposely sweeping by. Alejandro wandered around, a security guard always shadowing him, until he found an electronic directory which listed the room on the mezzanine level where the International Symposium on Ambient Noise was being held. The way Helly had described it, Alejandro expected the conference to be huge. Instead, he found his way to an extremely modest room tucked away in the back hall behind the escalators. Before he could enter, an attendant asked for his name, appearing to consult a list, then welcomed him.
Oh, Mr. Torres, we were hoping you could come. We're so glad you could make it.
The immaculately dressed attendant crooned. Before Alejandro could ask how they knew his last name, the young woman gestured to a far too muscular assistant, who walked over and handed him a printed name tag, then ushered him to a seat. Alejandro surveyed the modest room. There were maybe 40 to 50 people from every corner of the globe, all looking quite uncomfortable, like they didn't understand why they were there. At the front, behind a lectern, a projection screen displayed an animated image of the globe, with a giant radio antenna surmounting the North Pole. There was an uneasy tension in the air as the last few seats were filled with reluctant-looking latecomers. The lights dimmed and sporadic applause hesitantly broke out. A blue spotlight lit up the lectern. Then Helly appeared out of the darkness, trying to ramp up her audience by clapping enthusiastically.
That's right. Congratulate yourselves. You all deserve it. You're an exceptional group, hopefully the last of your kind, and we spared no expense to bring you together.
She confidently walked up to the lectern, placing one hand on each side. Helly leaned forward, surveyed the room, then smiled.
For most of you, this will be the first time you've become aware that you're not alone. Who here would like blissful silence?
A few people stood up. Others clapped.
You're a very special group. You're both blessed and cursed with the ability to hear the ambient noise, the ever-present tones, which are with you every day of your lives. And I know they are a 24-hour annoyance that has shaped your experience of the world. And many of you feel isolated, different, and frustrated. But the good news is, the song, or as my new local friend here has described it, the hum, has a cure.
Excitement surged through the room, and a spotlight hit Alejandro.
Alejandro, whom we recently confirmed can hear the tones, is typical of most of you. He is a person haunted by the song, who struggles all his waking hours to mask the tones with music,
loud traffic, noisy cafes, or anything that will drive it from his mind. But Mr. Torres's hum is actually our gift to humanity. That is, for those who don't hear it. For those deaf to its presence, the tones keep them happy. The song calms the mind and its pointless ambitions. It helps us keep things the way they are, and we brought you here to ensure that everything stays that way.
Alejandro saw several people begin to get up and head for the doors, but they were immediately blocked by the ushers. Hallie ignored the commotion at the exits and continued.
Unfortunately, because you can hear it, you're not under its influence. And because you're not under its influence, you are dangerous. You are all potential agitators who might one day stir up discontent among the deaf masses. Well, we can't have that, so we've created the cure. Just for you.
Hallie looked around at her confused audience, nodded to someone at the back, then donned a red cap and hurried off the small stage. As she disappeared behind the curtains, the room was filled by a blinding white strobe light, accompanied by the most horrific tone Alejandro had ever heard. Carlos was sweating by the time he finished pushing the heavy cart through the soft sand to the market. Alejandro hadn't shown up to fish since the day the catamaran had harassed him, so Carlos had been forced to push the awkward thing himself. He weighed his catch in at the market, took his modest credit chit, complained about the amount to the paymaster, who as usual ignored him, and left to walk home. Several blocks from the waterfront, a truck carrying propane had flipped onto its side. The telltale smell of rotten eggs was evident several blocks away, and hastily erected signs warned people to go no further. So Carlos was forced to detour blocks out of his way to avoid the leaking gas, and eventually found himself walking along the chain-link fence that kept the locals away from the commercial docks, which were crowded with waiting tour boats. Carlos walked along the wire barrier toward the street, where he could finally turn to get home. The tourists had left long ago for their luxury hotels. Only the boat crews remained, a few deckhands still cleaning and preparing for the next day. As he neared the street by the main exit, a small security gate cut into the fence abruptly opened, disgorging a deckhand dressed in a white t-shirt with some tour company's logo emblazoned across the back. Apparently not seeing Carlos, the man rudely knocked him out of the way.
"Hey, watch out!"
Carlos indignantly shouted. The man stopped and turned. Shocked, Carlos's heart skipped a beat.
"Alejandro! It's me, Carlos!"
Alejandro looked at Carlos with an expression of contempt that showed no sign of recognition, brushed some unseen dirt from his t-shirt, then turned and walked away.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 82, Ambient Noise. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes, or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Google+ and Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com, or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written and read by Ellen B. Hare. The opening-closing theme is Podsafe Music by David Hume. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.